Praise the Lord. Lift your hands towards Brother David this morning. Father God, we just praise you. Thank you, Brother David. Lord, we love him. And Lord, we pray that you just touch him right now and put in his heart the words that you would have him share with us this morning. And Lord, let these words go deep into our hearts and bless our hearts, Lord, and guide us through the next coming days and weeks. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen.
Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Am I on? Check, test.
I was on. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. I don't think we were thanking them when we were putting announcements in there. Since we're going to be here Wednesday night from 6 to 8 now, you say, why are we going to have a watch light service from 6 to 8? But we're going to do it so everybody can attend. No matter what age you are, you can attend the watch night service. And the actual date where the new year comes in is going to be our time, 7 o'clock. We celebrate it at 12 o'clock because that's when it comes in on the East Coast. But it actually comes in our time, 7 o'clock our time. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually celebrate our time at 7 o'clock. Amen. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to be here at 6. Bring your favorite finger foods. And that's going to be cool. Bring your favorite finger foods. We may play some games. But at 7 o'clock, we're going to welcome the new year in. All right? And you're going to say again, you say, that's crazy. No, it's not. It's the official new year. So we're just going to be ahead of the game. Amen. We're going to be ahead of the game, and we're going to have it on the actual time that it comes in. Amen. So now, get your Bibles out. Oh, and look, no service Tuesday night. I didn't even think about it. We should have put it in the bulletin because we're going to be here Wednesday night. Instead of Tuesday night service, we're going to have Wednesday night service from 6 to 8 at the Fellowship Hall. And bring your favorite finger food. Bring your favorite finger food. We're going to have a good time. Invite people to come. It's something very unusual, and it's okay. Now, we could drop a pickle. Mount Olive has the pickle drop. I'm thinking about dropping a possum. we got a possum, so we're liable to drop a possum, but from 6 to 8. Now, how many is excited about serving the Lord? This year, honestly, you know, it's very easy to get confused on what God's trying to do. Amen. You know, you heard about the lady that went to heaven. And when she got to heaven, St. Peter says, okay, you passed every test but one. She said, what's that test? Said, all you got to do is spell a word and I'll let you in. She said, okay, why do you want me to spell? He said, love. She said, that's simple, L-O-V-E. He said, come on in. And then he got called somewhere else. He said, can you watch the gate and just do what I'm doing until I get back? She said, sure. So some little child came up and said, tell us a word. And she said, spell dog, D-O-G. And then a grandmother come up and she just said, spell grandma, G-R-A-N-D-M-A. And then her ex-husband came up. And she said, all you got to do is spell one word and then you can make it into heaven. He said, what's that? He said, spell it now, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Amen. Well, things can get confusing. Amen. So we're gonna try to unconfuse things. Amen. Now, this year coming up, you're gonna hear a lot about this. I believe God's put it in my heart. This is the year of renewal, of our discipleship, renewal of our stewardship. And so you're gonna be hearing a lot about that in the next few weeks. You're gonna be hearing all kinds of things. You're gonna think, well, what in the world is going on? Well, you can think of it this way. This is the year of renewal. Jesus Christ could come back this year. I hope he does. But when he comes back, I want him to catch us doing the right thing and not just going by and get by the least amount as possible. Amen? And sometimes I think if we're not careful, we'll just try to get by with the least amount as possible to get us in, Lord. I remember people would say, I want to go sweeping through the gates. And I don't hear that anymore. I hear that, Lord, just let me in some way. Amen. And so it's important. So now, remember, year 2015 is going to be the year of renewal. Okay, we're going to talk about keeping our focus. Go ahead, dear. There you go. Keeping your focus. Let me get. It looks like we're watching Mystery Science Theater. Let's see here. I'm sorry. I'll put it back on. Okay. How many of you ever watched Mystery Science Theater where the guy sitting up with these two things with the funny heads? That's what it kind of looks like, Mystery Science Theater. Okay, if you've never seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about. You think I've lost my mind. Okay, so now, God's calling us to have a New Year revolution. Not just resolution, but a revolution. God's wanting us to get ready more than ever before for Him coming back, and we need to keep our focus. Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 13, or chapter 3, verses 13. Stand for the reading of the word, and we're just going to put it up here. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up here on the next slide. It's God's here for you. I put it in a simpler to understand translation because it does get kind of confusing. All right, and here it is. I do not, you ready? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I don't want us to feel rushed. I don't want us to feel apprehensive. I just want us to enjoy the moment and learn from God. Amen? Just enjoy what's going on with God's house. Amen? It's 11:30. You'll be out of here by 4:30. Amen. Ready? I got this up here so you can see. Oh, go ahead, dear. The next slide. I got it up here so you can see it. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But this one thing I do. Y'all say one thing. It is my one aspiration. And when it says this one thing I do, it's not just talking about action. Okay? Because when we're doing stuff for God, there's many different ways and avenues that we have to explore. And there's many things we'll do that we may not have done before. So it's got nothing to do with action. It's got to do with attitude. Somebody say attitude. It's got to do with attitude. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind. Wow, that right there is a mouthful. If y'all could just forget what lies behind you, some of you could go ahead and break free and God could use you. Amen. Just forget about the problems. Forget about the pain. Forget about whatever. Forget about victories behind you. Some folks. And straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward literally is talking about when somebody's going over the finish line, you see the guy that gets the tape usually is the person that's leaning forward. All he can lean forward to get to that finish line and grab that tape. That's what it's talking about. To what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this day. I ask you, Lord, to touch us, Father, to anoint us, God, to have your will and your way in this service, Lord. I thank you for what's already happened, Lord. I thank you, God, for more happening, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to anoint your word, Lord. It's already anointed, but help us, God, anoint us so that we can receive your word. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're more than able to give us what we need this day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this day belongs to you, and we thank you for it. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be set. They'll be sitting on the way down and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, and nothing, and nothing shall be impossible. Did we get all of our Advent candles? I just have to look over here at the Advent candle. We got them all? Okay. We'll make sure. Focus. So talking about focus, I'm looking over at Advent candle. Amen. Focus. Look what focus means. Here's a little acrostic for focus. Follow one course until successful. Follow one course until successful. If we're not careful, listen to this now. Satan will have us going in so many different ways we won't even understand what's happening around us. We'll be so confused we're mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo. It's important that we maintain our focus. New Year's offers this. It offers us fresh opportunity, fresh hope, and a fresh start again. We had it last year. We got it again. That's why God gives us seasons so that we can, when things have gone wrong, how many's had some victory this year? How many's had some defeat this year? How many would like to forget the defeat? How many like to overcome where you were defeated? Then that's why God gives us seasons so that we can get a fresh opportunity to start all over again. So here's some New Year facts now. New Year facts. God desires us to engage in the battle and give it our all. God desires us this year, as in every year, to engage, to give it our all, to engage in the battle. That's our time, our talent, our resources. But Satan, on the other hand, he desires us to disengage or at least give it a very little effort. He wants us to have really a loss or a lack of interest in working for God. See, these are facts. These are not something I made up. These are facts. This is what's going on in everybody's life. And the one thing that will keep us or break us is what? Our focus. We have to maintain our single focus on to God. So now here's New Year's focus now. Our focus should be, number one, on God. His Word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible says that His Word will not return unto Him void. Focus on His Word. Focus on His ability. He asked Mary and asked others, is anything too hard for God? His mission is to seek and save the lost. That should be what we should be looking for. We should be understanding this with all of our heart. This is what God wants us to do. But here's what Satan does. He's so good at this. He wants to distract us. Y'all say distraction. It's amazing how we can be distracted in service. You've heard me talk about it before. You can be in distraction in service with just thinking about things that are going on in your life. All of a sudden, you just forget everything that the preacher's saying, all the songs, everything. It's all gone because you just got distracted on your problems. There's another one that'll really get you, that cell phone. That cell phone, while the preacher's preaching, you're cruising the internet or you're doing Facebook or you're doing something else and you have no idea what's going on. God could be giving you something to get you through the week. But you're so worried you don't get that one little thing on Facebook. You get distracted. You know what? Sometimes I like to have the ushers come by. I won't do it, but I like to have the ushers come by and say, can we hold your... You know, remember when you rode into Dodge City, you had to hang your guns on the fence? You picked them up after you walked out of town? I like to put our cell phones on the door, on the table when we got out, go back to our cell phone, because that's one of the biggest distractions Satan has got on us right now. Watch this. Distraction is any type of activity, action, or attitude. Y'all say that with me. Y'all say this with me. Any type of activity, action, or attitude that consumes, listen to this now, it consumes you, it consumes your time, it consumes your interest. If Satan can get you caught up in something like this, then to the point where God becomes a blur, then he wins. That's what Satan wants, and that's what Satan's trying to do, to get us distracted on things that don't even matter so that we don't see the things that do matter. He'd rather keep us straining at a gnat when the buzzer needs to be slapped. Satan does his job very effectively. Now, distraction is one of Satan's chief tools. It is a subtle tool. It sneaks up so soft it's not even noticeable. He'll come up to you and he'll just get you thinking. He'll get you looking, get you whatever, and get your mind off of what you're supposed to be doing. And I know I've been accused of having ADHD. accused, that's right. My wife's looking at me kind of, look, she's smiling because it's not just an accusation. There's been several tests that I may have passed. All right. But it's easy to get distracted. You know, it's easy to get your mind off what's going on and understand that. So I can understand how Satan would take that as a subtle tool and get your mind off of what's going on around you. You're supposed to be focusing on the big picture, but you're looking at all the little pictures. And as you're looking at all the little pictures, you don't even realize that he is getting you and taking you out of the fight. It's a deceptive tool because it makes you feel effective, but it's only temporary. All this is all temporary because you're going to find out that he got you. How do you like it when Satan goes, gotcha? It's a patient tool because like a trap waiting to be sprung. And it's a cooling tool because it cools you down and it keeps you down and it prevents you from ever getting hot again. Satan loves to distract. That's what happened to Nehemiah for 150 years. Every time they tried to build the wall, Satan would distract the builders. But Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come off of the wall. Satan did not win with Nehemiah. And in 52 days, Nehemiah finished what could not be done in 150 years because he got the distractions out of the way. It's important that we understand Satan is after our souls. Knows he after our souls. He's trying to keep us not only to prevent us from growing, but he wants to prevent us from causing others to grow. And so that's why he will distract us. Whatever he can do, he'll distract us to keep us at bay and not to focus on the big picture, but to focus on little bitty pictures along the way and lose out on what God's got. Our focus has an unlimited value. Did you know that? Our focus is something very special. God give all of us focus. He give man the ability to focus. You know, if you watch, we've got a border collie. And when that border collie, when we first got it, that border collie wanted something. That border collie would look at you, and I told Linda, I said, this thing is trying to hypnotize me. And Linda said, I'm not sure if it was trying to hypnotize you. And then she looked it up. And that's how the border collies, one of the ways God's give them one of their awesome gifts for herding sheep. That border collie looks at you and just starts hypnotizing. And so I said, well, we're not going to keep this up. So I saw that patient gaze. I could have a biscuit on my lap. She's gazing, trying to hypnotize me, going, give me your biscuit. And so I finally started looking. I finally looked back at her and I started gazing back. And as I started gazing back, she gave me her biscuit. She quit gazing at me like that. But see, God wants us to realize there's so much untapped and unlimited potential if we'll keep our focus. When we think we can't do it, or we don't know how, or we don't have the time, we don't have the talent, whatever, the potential is there. But you've got to focus. Now, there's potential, there's power to fulfill it. And God will put you in a position so that you can use this, but you got to focus. An undivided focus is a very powerful thing. There's 10 things to focus on as we enter into 2015. And I'm going to do 5 of them today and do 5 of them next week. But there's 5, I'm going to do 5 of them, but there's 10 things we need to focus on. And it's kind of out there, you might think, but then you can start listening. You go, wait a minute, he's talking to me. Now, I want you to watch. The Bible tells us first, our focus, now, Lord, remember this now, our focus has unlimited value. Y'all say unlimited value. All right, so here's the focus. Watch this. Number one, he called you to be a part of the family. How many knows that? He called you, and it wasn't to get you to this place so he can drop you. Oh, come on. He called you not just to get you to this point in your life and drop you. So we need to focus on our position in God. No man can pluck us out of his hand. God is a powerful God. God called you. God anointed you. And Satan would like to make you think that God has left you. God has not left you. God has his hand on you. The Bible says, I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Watch this now. This is so awesome. The good work that is in you is God's. He began it. He will complete it. He is mighty God. Somebody say, he's the mighty God. God started that work in you, and God will complete it. It's a promise we have in his word. I don't understand sometimes why we go through what we go through. I don't understand why we have the problems that we have. I don't understand the setbacks. But remember something. Remember this. God has a plan for your life. And that includes every setback you've ever had. That includes all this other stuff that's ever gone on. He's looked at that, and look, he didn't necessarily... He didn't necessarily do it because many things we've done on our own. We did it ourselves because of hard-headedness or because we weren't thinking or lack of faith. But God can take all of that and still mold you and shape you into what He wants you to be. God started the work in you. God will complete the work in you. He'll take all your setbacks, all your sins, everything, if you'll bring it to Him, and He'll take it and He'll use it to build you. So there's our position. Next, the Bible says He will build His church. Focus on our power. And I tell you that you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church in the gates of hell, Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower or to be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Think of the power. You know, I was at a church one time and I was having a hard time. It seemed like it weren't going anywhere, just like it was just stagnant. And I went in the woods and I was praying. And I said, God, I don't understand. I'm doing everything we can, and it seems like it's going backwards instead of forwards. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, matter of fact, I'm so discouraged. I know y'all have never been here. I was in the woods, first church, and I said, I quit. I said, I'm working swing shift. I'm running back and forth, 26 miles one way, 26 miles the other way. I'm running myself to death, running my room in a car. I am exhausted. It's getting nowhere. I said, I can't seem to get off the ground. And I said, God, right in the woods, I was on second shift, right in the woods. I said, God, I quit. You take it. I know y'all never been there. Y'all just your halos. I went out of the woods, went to the post office box. There was a cassette tape in the mail. I picked the cassette tape up. I just threw it in my car. Just threw it in the front seat. I went and had some lunch, got in my car, and I plugged it in. And there was a preacher preaching. I'm riding along, and the preacher said, I was having trouble in my church. Couldn't get it off the ground. And said, I was in prayer one day, and I told God, I quit. And so I turned the volume up. He said, God, I quit! And he said, I got in deep prayer. And God said, good. Now I can work. He said, I didn't tell you to build the church. He said, I said in Matthew 6 and 18, I will build my church. He said, I told you to preach and teach and baptize and all that. He said, but I will build my church. And when I build it, the gates of hell will not come against it. There was my answer just a couple hours before in the woods where I was saying the same thing that man was saying. Now I was hearing the answer and I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Please do not accept my resignation. Tear it up. I said, Lord, I understand now you're to build a church, not me. I'm supposed to preach, teach, baptize, do all that, but you're going to build it. And so I went back to the church and within a matter of weeks, it had doubled. Because now I took the burden off of me and put it where it should have been, on God. Some of y'all in here right now, you're carrying the wrong burden. You're trying to fix something you weren't called to fix. You're trying to carry something you weren't called to carry. We've got power. Jesus said, let me do what I'm supposed to do, and you do what you're supposed to do, and then let me handle the consequences. Watch this. It's so awesome. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So many times I remember I used to hear that the gates of hell, I think about the gates of hell charging me. They're coming after me. They're chasing me down. Well, let me tell you something about the gates. This is pretty cool. The gates of the city, it's where the wise men of the city met. This is where they governed the city. It was at the gates. This is where the lepers had to come in and wipe their hands before they walked in to the area. This is where visitors had to stop and check in because this was the governing part of the city, the gates. Not only was that, but the lawyers met here for civil matters. Also, court was held here, right in front of everybody. There was the court. Punishment was dealt and administered. But here's the most important thing about the gates. They're stationary. Gates are stationary. What God is telling us is, don't be on the defense. Get on the offense. Instead of you thinking of him storming our gates, let's storm his. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, meaning you're going to grow. Not only are you going to grow, but you're going to go out to Satan and you're going to take the fight to him. Quit letting him take the fight to you. Take the fight to him. If we'll take the fight to him, you'll see it's going to be a whole lot more powerful if we take the fight to Satan. I used to tell DC and Daniel all the time in football, if you'll hit first, if you hit hard, you hit hard, you hit low, and you hit first, it's going to hurt, but nothing like it would hurt if you just stood there and let him hit you. We got to hit hard, we got to hit low, and we got to hit first. Amen? Y'all. Check. Are y'all distracted? Okay. The unlimited value of our focus. Number three. You know, matter of fact, I like to think about this. If Satan is there, if there's a post office in hell, I hope my picture's on it. Under the top 10 wanted. If there's a post office in hell, and there's a every Christian church's picture is up there on the top 10 wanted, most wanted. Amen? So get ready. Number three. Here's one some people really need to hear hard right now. It did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but to walk with you through it. Focus on our protection, which is his presence. Our protection is his presence. Our protection is his presence. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, but now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Let me just stop right here for a minute. Created is an act of taking nothing, something from nothing. So he created Jacob. Then said, he that formed thee, O Israel. That one thing there, that one little line there is so powerful. Many, many years are between that. Because Jacob was what he was given birth. But all the things he went through, the supplanter, all the things he went through with his father-in-law, all the things he went through with his wives, all the things he went through, formed him and God changed him to Israel. All the things you're going through right now, you can't understand it, but God's forming you and he's changing you and he's making you something special. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. God's watching. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so awesome. When they come out of the fire, when they were in the fire, the king looked in and he said, didn't we cast three men in? I see four men. And the fourth was like the Son of God. And when they came out, they didn't even smell. They weren't burnt. They weren't singed. You couldn't even smell them. Some of y'all right now got to understand some of the things you're going through, the heat you're going through. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Number four, getting close to the end. There is more in store for your life and ministry. Focus on our potential. We want to stay focused on our problems. We want to stay focused on things that have held us back. We want to focus on all this stuff. And we focus on this, it messes us up. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and in righteousness upon you. And again, break up that fallow ground. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Fallow ground is ground that once you have harvested your plants, whatever the field gets hard and crusty. And if it's like corn, you got corn stalks laying on the ground. That's where the people come in and the poor people would come through and they would pick up what was left over, but the ground would get hard and crusty. And in order to have a good crop, you had to go through and you had to till all that stuff up and make new rows. That's what he's saying. Till it up through the Holy Ghost, through His power. Till it up and let God do something special. Watch this now. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says, this is why I would rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders of the presbytery. Yes. This is awesome. Watch this. You may feel like your purpose is dead and buried. There's a difference in burying and planting. Y'all listen. You may think that your life is dead and buried. That whatever you're going on through, the problem in your life right now is dead and buried. Your marriage is dead and buried. Your job is dead and buried. Your ministry is dead and buried. Because you're in a dark place right now. You're in a cold place. You feel like you're just covered up. There's a difference in burying and planting. Satan would like to bury you. But God wants you to know you're planted. And in order for you to grow, you've got to go into dark places. Once you go into dark places, that's when things happen and God does a secret work. What you think is an end is actually a beginning. Praise God. Number, last one. Y'all are awful quiet today. That's scary when y'all get quiet. Okay, y'all listen good. Matter of fact, if you start throwing fruit, make sure it's fresh fruit, not canned fruit. Ready? Number five. When we obey the voice of God, we are unstoppable. Focus on our persevering. The Bible says, I'm just going to read these three verses, and I got a story to tell you. The Lord utters His voice before His army, for His host is very great, and they are strong and powerful, execute God's word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So would my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, without producing and of any effect useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in that thing which I sent it. Isaiah 55 and 11. And then finally, the godly man trips seven times, but he'll get up again. Seven times mean utter failure, but you can get back up. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Let me read the story to you. This might help you. If you say, well, that's all good stuff, but you ain't going through what I'm going through right now. No, I might not be. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars and said, I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I'll be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second little tree looked at the small stream trickling on its way to the ocean. I want to be a traveling mighty waters carrying powerful kings. I want to be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree down into the valley below where busy men and women worked in a busy town. He looked down into the valley below. I don't want to leave the mountaintop at all. I want to grow so tall that when people look at me, they'll raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I want to be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the rain came, the sun shined, the little trees grew tall. One day three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, this tree is beautiful, it's perfect for me. With one swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest, I shall hold a wonderful treasure, the first tree said. The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, this tree is strong, it's perfect for me. With a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell. He said, Now I shall sail mighty waters. Thought the second tree, I shall be a strong ship for mighty kings. The third tree felt their hearts sink when the last woodcutter looked her way. She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven, but the woodcutter never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he muttered. With a swoop of his shining axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought her to the carpenter's shop. But the carpenter's shop fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once mighty tree that thought it was going to be a boat. Well, praise God. I take it from memory. The once powerful tree that thought it was going to be a powerful treasure chest filled with gold was now made into a manger, and it was stuck into a little cave. And it said, how in the world can I ever be what I thought I was going to be? How can I carry precious gold if I'm in a manger, if I was a manger in a cave? And then one day, travelers came through, and there was no room in the inn. And the manger held the greatest treasure known to man, baby Jesus. The second tree said, I want to be a mighty ship. But because it wasn't any of that great wood, they just made it into a little old fishing boat. He said, I want to be able to transport kings all over the world. But instead, he was a little bitty fishing boat put on the Sea of Galilee. But one day, Jesus stepped in that boat. And he took the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over to the other side. And he saw Jesus stand up and rebuke the wind, and it laid down at his feet. Woo! And then the third tree said, I want to be able to point, I don't want to ever be cut down. I want to point people to heaven. Instead, he was busted up. And they come through one day hollering, crucify him, crucify him. And it took two pieces of this tree and they formed a cross. And Jesus carried it up a hill and they nailed Jesus to that tree. And now every time somebody looks at that cross, they look to heaven. Wow. You see, we've all got big dreams. We've all got things we want God to do in our lives. Satan would like us to break our focus so that we would not even be able to do what God's called us to do, but it's very important to understand. Just like that tree that wanted to carry treasure, wind up carrying the greatest treasure. Just like that tree that wanted to be a mighty ship to carry kings, wind up carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And like that tree that wanted to point to heaven, it actually still points to heaven to this day. Don't lose your focus. Things might not be going the way you think they should go. But remember, God still has everything under control. Everything under control. Fellas, Sister Brenda, y'all come on up here. I want everybody to stand. I got a challenge for you. Instead of listening to all the voices around you, and instead of looking at all the little pictures around you, I want you to get your eyes on the big picture. Ask God to help you not to lose your focus. Because if he can distract you, he can win. If he can distract you, he's got this. First off, with every head bowed, y'all bow your heads. Is there anybody here? Take all distractions out of your mind. Lay them aside. Focus on the cross. Is there anybody here with every head bowed? You can just raise that hand. I'm not going to make an issue out of it. I'm not going to point you out. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand and say, I'm not where I need to be with God? Either I need salvation, I just need to regroup, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. I just need God to do something special in my life so I can do something special this year. Anybody I'm talking to, if you're in here, would you just put that hand, if you put it up quickly and put it back down. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Father. Maybe you're here this morning and you'll admit, I've just been so distracted by activities. I've been so distracted by so many things. I've let the things get in my way. And as these things have got in my way, it's caused more and more problems because I've lost my focus. My focus should be on God and how He wants me to do the things I've got to do at my work and with my family and all the things in my life. My focus has been broken. Would you raise your hand? My focus has been broken. I'm so full of distractions. I need God to help me get my focus back. Just raise that hand quickly and put it down. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you just want to say, Lord, I want you to help me improve my focus. I got to understand, and I want you to understand, God has so much in store for you this year. Would you just raise a hand and say, I need God to help me to increase my focus? You just put it back down. There you go. Now, if you raise your hand for anything you wanted to and didn't, whatever, I'm going to invite you, for whatever reason, to come up here. God's got something so special for all of us. And Satan would like to distract us. Get our minds on things that don't even count. My dad used to say all the time, it's a dime holding up a dollar. A dime holding up a dollar. Well, you know, Satan would love to have a dime hold up a dollar. He would love to distract you, to get your focus broken. God's got so much in store for us. God, let me listen to all the voices around me that would love to destroy or distract me. Father, help me right now, Lord, to look straight ahead to you, Father. Lord, help me get a fresh vision. Help me, Lord, get a fresh vision of you, Lord. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to help me, Father, to quit being so distracted by everything around me. God, I know, Lord, there's things in my life that I have to deal with, things in my life that I've got to go forward with, but Lord, I don't have to let it distract me. I can let it inspire me, Father, let you do something great in my life. I thank you, Lord, just like that little tree that wanted to carry gold, wound up carrying, holding Jesus, and the little tree that wanted to carry mighty kings, wound up carrying the King of Kings, and the tree that wanted everybody, when it saw it, look up to heaven, became a cross. You never know exactly how God's going to fulfill His plan in your life. But know this, He will fulfill His plan. Trust Him. If you will let Him, He will fulfill His plan in your life. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. In the name of Jesus, you're awesome. You're powerful, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you're a powerful God. You're a mighty God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. I want us right now to pray together. We're all going to pray the same prayer. We're all going to pray it together, so it's going to be okay. Father, I'm tired of being distracted. Lord, help me move forward in you. I rededicate my life to you this morning. Father, whatever was distracting me, help me to look beyond it. Lord, help me to have a new focus this year. Order that you can use me greater. Lord, I don't understand things, but like those three trees, God fulfilled the desires of their heart. Just not the way they were expecting it. God sees your desire. God knows what you need. Let Him take care of it this day. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you. Let's sing that. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed.
You're all I want.
Me do you want it? Sing it, church.
Me know you want it.
Amen. Give a little hand clap to the Lord. It's amazing, that story of the trees. They were looking for God to do great things in their life. They were expecting great things. And all those situations didn't turn out the way they expected. God gave them the desires of their heart. That dream that He had given them earlier was there. Come back tonight. We're going to talk some more. Not about the 10 things, but we got some more things we're going to talk about that's going to hopefully going to help us get our focus back. But this year, I don't know about you, but it's different. It's different. I can't explain it. It's different. And I think over the years, myself included, many times we have not been as serious as we need to be. And I think this year, especially since it's so close to the coming of the Lord, God's calling us to reevaluate our seriousness with Him and give it our best shot. Give it our best shot. I don't want to get to heaven. I got spelled supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, you know, I had all this stuff in store you could have done, you know, but instead you put me on the back burner. And instead of prime rib, you had beanie weenies. I'm not talking about literally, although that may be true too, but I had, spiritually speaking, I had prime rib for you. And you were satisfied with the beanie weenies. And the bad thing is, the steak would have given you strength to go out and get more people in. The beanie weenies just helped you sustain whatever you were trying to do. This year, everybody should have in their mind, help me at least win one for you. Just one. Just one. Some of you are capable of one. Some of you are capable of 10. Some are capable of 50. That's what the Bible says. But everybody's capable of one. God help us. Get our focus back. Take care of business for God. Amen. Come back tonight expecting something great. God's awesome. All the time. Bro, Steve.
Bring us back home tonight and bless us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.